And checking on our situation this morning is Jeff from Acela Wine. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter, and good morning to all our listeners.
Oh, boy, mate.
Yeah, beautiful sunny day here, and I guess on the east coast of Australia, but boy, we've got some crazy people running around here in Australia making crazy statements, and I refer particularly to that statement that our chief medical officer in New South Wales made, Dr. Kerry Chant, that 1.5 million people in New South Wales are going to get the coronavirus in the first wave, Peter. I mean, if that's the most irresponsible and stupid statement I've ever heard come out of a politician, at least in Australia, I think Angela Merkel's statement yesterday about Germany going to have 60 million cases is probably even stupider.
Yeah, I don't know what's the matter with these people. I just don't understand.
Yeah, look, let me put it to you this way, Peter. She announced that in the morning. In the afternoon, Donald Trump announced no more flights from Europe.
Yeah.
So and it was followed by the largest one-day Wall Street crash since 1987, Peter.
Yeah, is he wearing blinkers?
Yeah, this is what irresponsible statements do. You know, I mean, I cannot believe where they find these people. Honestly, Peter. You know, I mean, we talked the other day when we touched on the coronavirus that the SARS, which was 20-odd years ago, the SARS virus, which is a coronavirus as well. They're all coronaviruses of some description. But SARS, from the time that it initiated in China, spread through China, spread through the world, killed the 3,000, 2,000 something people that it killed, to the time it was gone, extinct, Peter, was 9 months.
Yep.
And it killed 2,000 something, Peter, 2,000 around. But this one's a little more contagious, but, you know, and it's killed, I think I didn't look the first thing this morning, but it's well over 3,000 anyway, probably over 4 now, but, you know, it's 130,000 people have got it. But, you know, Peter, we're in the phase, the early phase, you know, the earliest phase. There are phases in how to control these things.
Sure.
And, I mean, she should be well aware of it. We're in the phase now where we're still able to identify prime carriers and not only isolate them, but test everybody they've been in contact with.
That's right.
Now, if the government wants to spend, you know, billions of dollars on this, as they've said, what they need to do is mobilize testing. They've only tested 10,000 people.
Yeah.
You know, there's 4 million in Sydney alone. Okay, now if you, admittedly, you've got to have, you want to have candidates to test. You don't want to do it randomly. But, you know, mobilize testing better. That's where we're falling down. We're testing better than some countries, but we've got to mobilize testing. You know, I read an article, you know, in Washington, they interviewed the head of the rest home in Washington State, where they really, in the U.S., had the first, in Seattle, had the first real outbreak of the coronavirus, and they lost a lot of patients there. I think they're well over 20 deaths now, which means that it had been there for a long time before it was recognized and before, you know, I know we can trace it back to China, you know, trying to hide the thing, but it had been in this rest home for a long time. And a lot of patients got it, nearly all patients, a lot of nurses and healthcare officials got it. And one of the press people asked them, you know, weren't they doing any testing? And, you know, and he said, you know, we send a message to the government every 5 minutes, you know, about the problem.
Yeah, and so, nothing.
Nothing. Well, of course, it took the U.S. a while to mobilize as well. They were slow to get going. But the thing is, the local people knew they had a problem, but they had, you know, the answer is test facilities. I can't Like China is a little bit different. You know, they sort of rounded up 50,000 people in Wuhan. We're going to have a bit of trouble doing that because we're going to, in the West, in Australia and Canada and United States, the UK, we rely on self-quarantine to a large extent.
Yep.
And they didn't in China. And of course, it completely failed in Italy when they announced, or it leaked out, that they were going to lock down northern Italy. Just about half the population tried to leave. They got in their cars and planes and trains. They had to stop them at stations down the road, Peter, and send them back.
That's right. And
so there's no citizen responsibility. That's the key, in my mind, to fighting outbreaks like this.
So what, are we back to the old standard, I'm all right, Jack, blow you?
Yeah, certainly that seemed to be the case in Italy, but I think, you know, most countries are more responsible than what the citizens of northern Italy demonstrated anyway. You know, when you, other than a few exceptions, I think if you're told to self-isolate or quarantine yourself, you're going to do it. Because it's only it's a week, actually, but it's 2 weeks, they tell you. But the average infection, it started out at 5.9, now it's 5.1 days before symptoms occur.
All right.
But the thing is, Peter, that there's two phases to it. One is to try and find everybody and test them. And that requires mobilization before it's a disaster, before it's a pandemic. And the second thing is the population, the citizens, the average citizens, and it's in their own self-interest, developing the proper habits to make sure that it's not spread. The cleanliness the government keeps talking about, washing your hands, you know, staying away from large social gatherings. And if you're not feeling well, stay home, you know, and wait and see what happens for a day or two.
That's right.
You may only have a cold or a flu. Even the Prime Minister of Canada and his wife are self-quarantining at the moment. I don't know if you saw that in the paper. She came home from a conference in London, and she wasn't feeling well. She had a bit of the sniffles and stuff. Not that everybody that flies on a plane doesn't, Peter. Everybody gets off a long flight with the sniffles. And so she did the responsible thing. She announced to her staff, she self-isolated, and because he'd been in close contact, the Prime Minister self-isolated as well.
That's right.
Probably don't have it, but that's the process, Peter, of controlling what can potentially be a pandemic. It's just, you don't go out and tell your citizens, you know, 1.5 million people are going to get it in the first wave. That's so irresponsible that, you know, she should be removed immediately. That's the way. Put somebody in there that understands these things, understands people and the economy and, you know, how to deal with these things. It's like, guys, you know, rounding up the troops, Peter, you know, and we're going into war and we say, okay, we got a 3 million army here and, you know, we're going to lose 1.5 million of you in the first attack. But don't worry about it. We still have 1.5 million left.
Oh, unbelievable, isn't it?
It is so stupid. It's just boggles the mind. And you know what? It's having an effect. We had a couple by yesterday for a wine tasting here at the Vineyard, and they were staying over at the Vintage, you know, one of the larger resort areas here.
Yes.
And they said, it's practically empty.
Yeah.
You know, nobody here. Drive down the road, said, nobody here.
I've been to supermarkets and walked in and thought, is it open? You know, very few people there. I just don't understand why we have to create this panic and this worry. Because there are people that have contracted, you know, this particular virus, and they're fine. And I also found out that once you have it and you get through it, you cannot get it again. There are so many factors they're not looking at. And there was another one too regarding the planes. The chap on air talking about it, that every often, but the air is replaced. It's not stale air just being recirculated in a plane. It actually tips it out and gets fresh air. So, you know, there's so many things that are wrong, I agree with you, where these people are standing up and making silly statements, and that's really where it's at.
It is, Peter. And those statements are usually reserved for the press.
Oh, thank you very much. You have a nice day, too.
Except for you and I, Peter.
Yeah, well, we see through the you know, it's like a curtain that you can see through. We can see through that. But the majority of every Tom, Dick, and Harry is going to say, oh, gee, we can't go out. When in effect you can. And washing your hands is really, really important. You've got to do it for 30 seconds. Well, and that's not hard. It just means your cup of coffee's got to wait for 30 seconds.
Yes. Well, you know, I've been talking to clients in China because early on, of course, they weren't getting the right press. So I was sending them some articles out of the Western newspaper to, you know, that you could at least rely on the statistics, if not the panic mongering that's created by it. But, you know, and I was sending them regular articles. And then I noticed a few about 2 weeks ago that the coronavirus is no longer the headlines, because they couldn't create panic anymore. I mean, the governments were doing it well enough themselves, but they move on to some other, and sometimes absolutely stupid things, trying to, it's like when they had the bushfires, Peter, the press was on and on and on about the bushfires. Well, when the bushfires were over, it was contaminated water for about a week. And it's true, there was, you know, contaminated water, but they have to move on to other topics that can generate panic, Peter, because that's what sells newspapers. And in this case, it's being fed by the establishment. Yeah. I mean, Angela Merkel, her party should just sack her immediately. I mean, the world economy was struggling. Now it's had the largest crash in 50 years, Peter. And that's largely because of the statement she made. And within hours, the U.S. cut Europe off. You know, yeah. I say, well, you're going to have 60 million people. We don't want any part of that.
Yeah, you know? See you later. Yeah. Talk to somebody who cares.
I know. Do you think about who Australia's dealing with? We got some wingbat running around here telling the world that we're going to have, you know, 1.5 million in New South Wales, with 5 million in Australia are going to catch the coronavirus. What do you think the rest of the world thinks?
Yeah, that we're a pack of idiots.
I would say that's closer. When they look and say, well, what the hell is she talking about? There's only 120 cases or 130 cases.
Yeah.
Which brings me to the discussion the other day, Peter, when I was talking about the fact we had 100 cases. And then I went on to say that, you know, we're going to have 150 cases. I was talking about if we actually get control of phase one, which is being able to track the prime carriers, I was suggesting that we might peak out at around 1,000 cases. That was my statistical analysis of it. And I've done a fair bit of statistical work on this. I did a retrogressive projection or backward projection. And as near as I can figure it out, Peter, the first case of coronavirus appeared in China about the third week of October in Wuhan. If you statistically do it, I've projected ahead for three cycles in China. And I, when it was only 11,000 people, I projected in two cycles, it was going to be 63,000 from 11,000 in 12 days. And it was actually, no, I projected 62 to 68, and it was actually 63,000. So my Chinese people that I was sending this information to thought it was pretty good. I retired then, Peter, because you can project it quite accurately before they start taking action and before they start quarantining and all those types of things, because then it's not in unbridled growth. So, but equally, when it's going up at that rate, you can project it back to see where it started.
That's right.
It's like the beginning of the world. And it actually started in October. So, you know, anybody with half a mathematical brain can predict where it's going to go unbridled or, and predict where it started. But it's the controls we put in place, Peter, how we deal with it tells us where it's going to peak. And if we're able to continue finding the prime carriers, although there were a couple yesterday, they don't quite know where they came from. But when you get people like that, they're the prime carrier.
Yeah.
So they appear somewhere. They're, okay, I got two new prime carriers today. They had 10 or 12 or something yesterday, and they knew where they all came from, where they all caught it, except for two or three people. But those two or three people become prime carriers. Now you got to track their contacts.
That's right.
Okay? So, you know, it's just boggles the mind, Peter. Honestly, it's just, you know, let's be rational about this.
We have to face it, of course. But one thing we need to do is take a step back from that and enjoy some wonderful organic wine.
You got it, Peter. I mean, at least we could sit back and relax and say the world, you know, is going to, you know, wear in a handbasket and, you know, at least enjoy an ice drop. And you can still come by the vineyard here. We had people yesterday. They were having a great time. They almost got the area to themselves, Peter.
But that's fine, too. Buddy would have been in his heyday.
He would have. Look, honestly, it's about the safest thing to do if you're in Sydney. You know, you can jump in your car and you can drive up here to the beautiful fresh air, relax for the day.
Oh, mate, it sounds wonderful. Of course, people who can't do that in other parts of Australia, in fact, in other parts of the world, can simply go onto your website.
They can, cellarwines.com.au. We're halfway through our fall pack wines. We've been shipping madly here and all over Australia, as you know. It's a free delivery all over Australia. And there's no excuse, Peter, for not having a very fine and good for you, healthy wine.
Yeah.
You know, in your wine rack.
I've got them in the fridge. I haven't got to them yet, but I've been a little bit busy. So cellarwine.com.au. And we'll catch up with you next week, mate.
Yeah, look forward to it, Peter, and maybe we'll be able to dissect, who's destroying the world with false information a little bit further.
Sounds good.
Okay, all right, mate. Talk to you
Thanks,
later.
Mate. Bye-bye now. Jeff from Acela Wine. That's acelawines.com.au.